Hi, it's Monday morning and I want to do something here for Gnosim. I actually were interested in me doing this. As I said before, the Gnosim catalog is out and they're doing their auction this Sunday, September 7th, 2025, Yud Daled Elul. And if you're interested, it's Gnosim, Genazym. I always point it out because you might get spelled, or it's spelled a little bit funny. And I've done a couple, but here is one very, very interesting, and that is, if you're into politics and history, and it's lot number 73 on page 132, it's a letter from, it's recent. It's a letter from 1992 from Avad Yosef to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, having to do with Israeli politics. And here we're dealing with the rise of the Shas party, which today is a fixture in Israeli politics, but it started in the 1980s. It was a controversial business. And, there was Chalukah Deis between Rav Shach on the one hand and Avad Yosef on the other on politics. Rav Shach was very political, among other things, especially in the 80s and the 90s. That's when he was at his peak years of political influence. And by that, I mean he influenced the Israeli politics very heavily. Governments rose and fell in the 80s and the early 90s, partially affected by what Rav Shach said, because he commanded that kind of a following. On the other hand, Avad Yosef also had a following, therefore he had a clash. And to situate this letter, which I'll read parts of, or maybe all of it, parts of it, and we're talking about something that they're asking $3,000 to $7,000. Not even that much, if you're interested in these sorts of gedolim politics. At the highest level, artifacts. I mean, this is the original letter in the handwriting of Avad Yosef himself. That's just interesting by itself. So, basically, let's put it this way: for the last 50 years, Israel has had Likud governments, with the rarest of exceptions. That's interesting, because Israel has been around since 48. That's about 75 years, or whatever it is. And, right, something like that, 77 years. And Israel has, the first, you can basically divide into two halves, A and B. The first half was dominated by the Labor Party, the Mapai Party, Ben-Gurion, and Avizrahu. And the second half was dominated not by the Labor Party. That's the big difference in the history, political history of the State of Israel. So again, in the first years from 48 to 77, which is about 30 years, all the governments were run by the Zionist Labor Party, first Ben-Gurion and Masharet and Eshkol and Golda Meir and Yitzhak Rabin. These were the prime ministers. You know how it goes in Israel, it's a coalition government, but the main party that organized the government was always the various forms of the Labor Party, especially the Mapai Party, Mefleget Pol Eretz Yisrael, which was started by Ben-Gurion and those guys. And they ran it in a certain way. And then in 77, Menachem Begin won. And I would say from 77 till today, nobody necessarily foresaw it, but all the it's the opposite. The Labor Party has never held power, with rare exceptions. So Begin was in, it had a Likud from 77 to 83, and then Yitzhak Shamir, and Shamir came in later in the 80s, and ever since, if you want to get technical, let me see now. In 84, there was a combination government from 84 to 88, with Shimon Peres and Yitzhak Shamir, so it was part Labor, part Likud. So the Labor couldn't get done what they wanted to get done. And then in 88, Shamir won. So the Likud was back in power from 88 to 92, very heavily because of the religious vote. I mean, in other words, Rav Shach sided with Shamir. And then, most unusually, in the 92 elections, which is what this letter is all about, from 92 to 96, it was a Labor government. In other words, Yitzhak Rabin. So he's from the Mapai Party and the what they call the Marach, which is the combination of Labor parties. And it was most unusual. And then in 96, Bibi came in. But then Bibi screwed up. So 2 years later, Ehud Barak came in for 2 years and was a disaster. And then after 2 years only came in, what's the name, Ariel Sharon. And pretty much from then till today, it's been a Likud. So it was Sharon. And then when he got his stroke, so this other guy, Ehud Olmert, came in with a, not exactly a Labor Party. It's a weird party, Kadima. And then after that, I think it's always been Likud. It's BB and BB and BB and BB, I think, right? Am I forgetting anybody? I don't think so. And so that's why the left hates him so much. He's been the longest prime minister. Okay? I'm pretty sure ever since then, BB came in. I would say from the time of Obama. Okay? So all throughout Obama and all throughout Biden and all throughout Trump, number one, and now Trump, number two, it's BB. So one of the reasons, a main reason is because the front parties that support the Likud. Between the Shas and the Aguda and the Mizrahi and its various iterations, they've fallen apart and reconstituted in funny ways. Between that and the religious vote, it's always been 15 to 18 to 20 seats, something like that. And that's a game changer. And they didn't give it to the Labor Party. So I would say, in general, the natural predisposition of the front parties is to support the Likud, because the Labor Party is associated with the Ben Gurion area and what they called they screwed over the Frum and so on and so forth. Menachem Begin was much more comfortable with the religious and making concessions to them. And I'm oversimplifying because I can't go in a whole long. I could do a separate podcast on that. So if you follow what I just said, the only clear, solid occasion that the Labor Party, won an election and formed the government without the Likud, Mamachis Labor, was really Rabin for 4 years. Well, he was shot after 3 years. But that government from 92 to 96. And then 2 years later, for a very short period, Ehud Barak, and that was it. Okay? Hello, Doverhu. Now, how did it happen that the Labor Party could form a government? As you know, in Israel, nobody ever gets 61. The magic numbers have 61. No party in history has ever gotten 61 seats, because then it's like getting 51% of a business. Then you run the show. And so they always have to form a coalition. Even Ben-Gurion have to do that. And in the first 30 years, the Mizrahi always allied itself with the Mapai Party, with the Labor Party. But not in the second 30 years. And in order for this to happen, Yitzhak Rabin, back in 92, had to get enough votes to make it 61, and he desperately needed the Shas Party, which I think had 12 at that time, something like that, a lot. And I think that's what it was. And, so they were like a game changer. And Aryeh Deri was the politician running the whole business over there. And Rav Shach was against joining the government. He said, don't give the Labor the power, especially because Rabin himself was like Parv. In other words, he didn't even know about religious stuff. But he appointed the head of the anti-religious party, Shulamit Aloni, if anybody remembers her, who was always very anti-Frum. From a liberal perspective, she says she's against Kfiyah Datit. I mean, I understand where she's coming from. And she was very strongly against the Frum stuff. And she was like a bête noire of the Frum parties. Her party, Meretz, what is it called, joined Rabin. So in other words, these are all leftist parties, but Rabin was sort of like economic and politically left, and she's religiously and culturally left. And the deal for her to join was that she becomes a minister of education, which gives you a lot of power. And the Frum were afraid that as minister of education, they'll cut off money to the Frum schools and stuff like that. That's what it boiled down to. Okay? I hope I haven't confused you. But if I did, that's okay also. And at the same time, it's not enough. They need a Frum party. And so, to make a long story short, Avad Yosef said that the Shas can join, and that's how they formed the government. And Rav Shach was all angry, and this is the era of the Yeted Naman, all this, and every week it's a cherem. You know, A puts B in cherem, B puts A in cherem, C puts both of you in cherem, A and B puts C in cherem, and so on. You know, that's how it was. Okay? And, oh my goodness, Avad Yosef, they really poured Gafris Va'esh on him. I'm talking about the Degel HaTorah parties and all that. Oh my goodness. So, the context of this particular letter is that in order for Rabin to form a government, which he did, and it was this government that made the Oslo agreements, 95, where they recognized the PLO. So, in order for this to happen, you had to win over Avad Yosef. And he thought about it and he said, yes, we're doing it. And he caught holy hell from the Haredi parties. No, it's from the Litvish, you know, from the Yeted Naman. What am I talking about? Degel HaTorah and Aguda and all that stuff. Who can remember all these things? And so he had Kol Koreis right and left. Every time you open the Yeted, it's some Kol Korei or signed by the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. Now, mind you, Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah doesn't include Avad Yosef. He never was on Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah because he's Sephardi. You're supposed to be Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. That's how it goes, baby. So that's one of the main reasons why he said, the heck, well, he made his own party. He has Moetzes, I don't know, Chachmei HaTorah or something like that. This is part of the front politics, as you know. Now, if Rav Shach signed it and his followers knew, but they also got Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to sign against joining the government and condemning what Avad Yosef was doing. Now, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as you know, was a gadol with a reputation for impartiality. I think you know this. There was Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. First of all, was a tzaddik yisrael, and besides being a gaon and a posek. And second of all, I mean, and that was acknowledged by everybody, which is interesting. And second of all, he had a lot of shaykhs with the kippah through God world and all that sort of thing. So knows he was masif l'chol ha-machanos. And it bothered Avad Yosef that somebody who's a non-partisan figure is now condemning what the Shas is doing. In that context, here we are in 1992 with all the hot front politics. So apparently Avad Yosef wrote a personal letter to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach justifying what he did. That is the letter that they're offering. The original copy is the letter that they're offering in this Gnozim auction. If you're interested in this political thing of two Gedolei Yisrael, listen, both of these people are giants, right? Agreed? I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on the one hand, Avad Yosef on the other, and one is writing to the other to justify what he's doing. And it's interesting because he's basically saying, I don't care if Rav Shach signs it, or, you know, Steinman or all the people who are on the Rav Shach team, but why did you sign it? And if you signed this letter condemning us, why didn't you talk to me about it first? And I read you the parts I can read over here. It's actually very nice handwriting, I must say, but it's a little bit long, but it's very, very interesting. And he says, "Lichvod Yedid Nafshi Agonim Beforesim Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, etc., etc. Shlita Shalom Brach Yesharav." And then he says, "It's the arti." This is Avad Yosef writing. "It's the arti lishmo shemalas chosam al gili adas." I was very mitzdayer. I was very disturbed and pained by the fact that somebody as great as you would sign on this letter. Ha'oser Latzbiya Memshala Hanochachis Biglal Tik Hachinuch Shenimsa Lishulin Midaloni. I was very pained that you signed this letter, which prohibited, which ossered. That's what he said about you. He said, we ossered it. How can you do it? He said, I don't have to listen to you. You're me. So he's writing to Shlomo Zalman, and he says that you signed this letter, which prohibited joining the Rabin government and naming them to form a coalition because he gave the Ministry of Education over to Shulam Alini. Vizos bli lishma mi tonu. Without discussing with me the details why I did it. Venerally, Shamasko, Sima Bame, Sima Kame Damar, and I'm assuming that somebody, that it was, the details weren't presented to you. Notice I'm assuming, I'm giving you a benefit of the doubt, that you didn't know what's flying, all the political details. Be also tarred, Begir Sasu, Betoros HaKadosha, because you're so into learning. You know, that's a diplomatic way of talking. Sorry, let me give you my version in short. And here, Avad Yosef is justifying Shas, right? I, Shas, has dirty politics. Yeah, they all do, but they also got a lot of stuff accomplished advancing the cause of Torah. We've set up with government money, a whole network of yeshivas of Talmud Torahs. Okay, yom, monike, shtei revavasi lodim, ken yirbo. And therefore, we have set up, ever since we set up Shas, I was able to, through politics, to get the money for 20,000 students, right, in the cheders. Rabbi Mehem, and these kids in the schools, a lot of them turned their families around and became Shomer Mitzvahs. As happens, we intend to continue this. And if we didn't have these cheders, Talmud Torah, as they call them, with these 20,000 kids, these kids would be in public school. And you know what that means. And we set up a whole network of subsidized public shiurim for the Sephardish communities in Israel all over the place. And we intend to continue this. In other words, this is what we got for joining the governments, you see. We set a bunch of mikvahs. Lachrona kibalti duch mivada tarims and shpacha al siyu agodo derech misrad apanim bebinyan arboim b'sheish mikvos. I got a letter telling me from the vada tarims mishpacha, which is not a Sephardi thing, that they got government money to fix up 46 mikvahs. Votishim mikvah shiputzim mesed tfachos. And 90 mikvahs went through an extensive refurbishing and repairing. We're going to continue this. And similar stuff in terms of yeshivas and kolos all over Israel, Sephardisha. Most of Sephardim Ashkenazim. Without any discrimination, in other words, we were able to get serious government money for this. You see, private money is never going to be able to equal the government money. Maybe they can come in Lakewood once in a while and hit them up and raise $100 million, but that doesn't happen all the time. With the government, you can get it every year. This being the case, we, the Sephardim, me and my colleagues, so we sat and seriously considered whether to join the Rabin government, and we know the downside and we know the upside. And we decided to support the labor government. And Rabin is going to give us whatever we ask for in terms of chinuch. Right? And Aryeh Deri ran the negotiations, and he got everything after extensive negotiations, exhaustive negotiations. And then we told our guys to initial the coalition agreement, and it became publicized. Not on the scenes, then we found that after we signed that he's giving the Ministry of Education to Shulamit Aloni. And we tried our best to pressure Rabin not to give it to her, but it didn't work. Because he's already promised her. But Rabin wrote me a personal letter with the agreement of Shulam and Aloni. That she's not going to interfere with the support of the yeshivas. Whatever was until now, she's going to maintain. Notice, let's put it this way. Shulam and Aloni, in order to get a left-wing government, is going to bite the bullet and agree to support the yeshivas, even though she's on the Greek. The Karas Amichta Befane called Klea Tikshoris. And all the, notice, it's the media knows all about this. Sitanik Barchava, and we cited it publicly. In other words, none of this is a secret. They can't back out. Vil Mischartin V'yoshin Babizitsia. And if we join you guys and we're in the opposition to the government, low rock hafakrichim. Notice if after we signed, we backed out because of Shulam and Aloni, we not only would we look like wishy washy, and it would be a chil Hashem, he says, if we promised to join and then we backed out. But all of our achievements in terms of chinuch and mikvahs and Talmud Torahs and everything would go down the drain. Because there's no way to prevent her from becoming the Minister of Education. And instead of us, he would bring in another left-wing party from Raful Eitan, who was a general, who was a great hero, but he's very anti-Frum. Shehem neged shichor b'nei yeshivas. They're going to try to draft the yeshiva guys. V'nosav gam hu al tzareinu. L'chein echlat lamshich al something. L'ftoch enem amayseh shel shalana milonim. And, you know, we're going to continue on our derech. And we're going to watch Shulam and Eloni like hawks, that she shouldn't mess us over. And Rabin promised that he's going to keep an eye on Shulam and Eloni, she shouldn't cause any trouble. So she'll be a case of Gadol HaOmid Al Gabo. Right? So in that case, Avakish was Shiafir She'ein Kriyoso Mechsimus Al Anshi Shas. So I'd like you, if you don't mind, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, to publish, you know, something that you have no tainus on Shas. Mace Hadjig Aslin, and I beg your pardon for bothering with you. Ohev Dover Mace, right, something like, you know, some honorific ending. So that's in other words, let's put it this way, it's a very straightforward defense of what the Shah is offering. This is of historical importance because this enabled Rabin to form a government. This made the Oslo Agreement, which is why Rabin got shot later. Now, let me say this in conclusion, because I'll tell you, you know, sometimes I'm gonna put a spin on it, a pro Avadi Yosef spin on it, because they say Chacham Adav Minavi. And what I mean by that is the Oslo Agreement gave the West Bank and all this stuff to Arafat. That is true, 100% true. And it also caused, you know, the Gaza Strip to be Israel to withdraw from it, although that was a little bit later. And then Hamas took over. But broadly speaking, although nobody planned this, the Oslo Agreement kind of worked out pro-Israel because it paralyzed the Palestinian thing for now 30 years. It was in 1995, now it's 2025. They've had the PA, the Palestinian Authority, and in some areas of the West Bank, as you know, like, you know, Ramallah and you know, the other cities, what's it, Tulkarm and Jenin and so forth. I mean, everybody knows that. But there hasn't developed a Palestinian state. Now, one of the main reasons that Bibi's been elected and re-elected is because they're afraid if the left wing comes in, they'll set up a Palestinian state. I get that. But meanwhile, it hasn't happened. So for 30 years, Israel got a certain breathing room. And believe me, nobody knows this more than the Palestinians themselves. If you ever follow their media, they say, oh, this was treason, and it's terrible, and only helps Israel, and Arafat is a traitor, and, you know, and everything, it was a gigantic mistake on the part of the Palestinians to sign the Oslo Agreement and so forth. There is a certain amount of truth to that. When I say Chacham Adav Minavi, you might tell me, say, well, as a result of supporting Rabin, they did the Oslo Agreement. And that's true. Although when it came to actually, you know, implementing the agreement, the Shas pulled out, as I remember. But as I recall it. But meanwhile, they enabled Rabin to have a government and do this. Now, and by the way, it was a reaction to this that the Hamas started blowing up, you know, the suicide bombing, which, and the other terrorism against us, which we suffer with until today, as obviously, you know. But, so you see how one thing leads to the other. But overall, the Oslo process itself, although this is not what Rabin and Peres had in mind, kind of worked out in a pro-Israel direction, in a weird way. So it's just interesting that it turned out this way. Now, you can agree and disagree. And I don't know what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said in reply. I just don't know. But if you're interested in this fascinating piece of is a personal letter from one Gadol to another, and it's pretty much a straightforward defense of the Shah's position in the politics of that time. And as I said before, this is from July of 1992, and they're auctioning off in the Gnosim. It's not that expensive. It's expensive for me, a poor guy like me, but not for many. You know, $3,000 to $5,000 is not that much. And it's handwritten by Avad Yosef. So if you're into that, either if you're Sephardi on the one hand, or if you're a political junkie, I suppose, on the other, or if you're interested in letters from one Gadol to a third, to a second Gadol, you know, in of itself, then this will be something of interest to you. So this is, again, being offered by Gnosim this coming Sunday, September 7th, right? And if you're interested, go online, just Google, you know, www.gnosim, just Google Gnosim, and you'll see the whole thing. It's Gnazym. Was asked to bring this to your attention. I'm doing that. And it is kind of an interesting episode in Israeli politics. This goes on probably in every election, I suppose. Anyway, with that, I wish you all a good day.